Judd, thank you very much for doing this. Welcome back. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you guys for having me.
Well, tell me overall, just give me an overall general view of your draft class and what the plan was, the way you wanted to attack the 2019 draft.
Obviously, coming in, I think in the first round, we've talked about it before, mm-hmm. with best available, you know, when we can make it coincide with what we also need. It's always great, and I think we were able to do that here last night. And, you know, when we look at the draft, obviously, we're heavy on forwards. Not always by design, but, you know, recently we, you know, have signed a couple college free agents and also Mitch Elliott out of the CHL. So, you know, we've addressed defense in some other areas at different times, and this is just sort of how the cards fell. But we were looking to get a little bigger, stronger, continue with skill and speed at the same time without diminishing that. But there was definitely an emphasis on some strength and some size for this.
Jim told us last night that he had an opportunity at number 10 to trade back into the first round, acquire another pick in that process, but he didn't because this particular player, Vasily Podkolzin, was available. Why was he a player you could not pass on?
There's a unique skill set there. The size with him, the combination of what he's able to do. He's not just a pure offensive player. I think for fans in Vancouver who had a chance to see him at World Juniors right here, for a young guy, he played a really important role, whether it be, you know, defensive assignments, penalty kill, you know, late and close in the D zone. So he's a trusted player on a team generally is an older Russian team that comes. So for a 17, 18-year-old to play those minutes, important minutes, I think it's about how well-rounded he is with the upside and obviously the size-strength combination. Too unique.
Well, you always break drafts down into tiers. And when you look at Podkolzin in the tier he was on, it was probably he was in that higher tier, and it probably wasn't worth moving down even for an extra pick because you're probably not approximating the overall value for a player like him that's available.
Absolutely. For us, he was right in the upper echelon of this draft, and as you talk tiers or cusp or however you want to break it down, he was in that upper group, and for us at 10, there's really no way for us to match that quality.
Well, and then when you look at Nils Höglander, for instance, and you mentioned you want size, but one of the things Jim mentioned too is, yeah, you want to have size, but if you have players who aren't big, do they have the drive? Do they have that determination? And Nils Höglander certainly seems to be checking off those boxes.
Yes, he's a high character kid with a real good motor. You know, and even things like the combine too. When you see him for where he is in stature, for size, he's good in all the right areas. The small areas, the quickness, the quick feet, the agility, good power output. And when you watch him play, even despite the, you know, the actual height, he's got real good balance and can play in the hard areas.
Safe to say that when Jim told us last night there were four players coming into the second round that you really liked, he was on that list of four?
Yes. You know, we certainly thought there was a chance he goes at the back end of Friday night. So, you know, we watched patiently or impatiently and got excited as we got there. So, no, we're thrilled. He was certainly the guy we were targeting.
He is the director of Canucks Amateur Scouting, Judd Brackett, joining us here on Sportsnet 650. What can you tell us about the rest of the draft class? Last year you had so many great words for Tyler Madden, and boy, did that come to fruition over the course of the last year. Is there a particular prospect that jumps out in those last few rounds to you?
No, I mean, obviously, today we're excited about all these guys. You know, we've put a lot of work in. Some, you know, we are guys that maybe were passed over a year ago. Some are first-time draft eligibles. You know, we've got a wide range of players, but I think it's it's something we do as a staff. We don't, you know, whether it's Carson Folk, someone that, you know, at a trade to Calgary, really found his game, mm-hmm. And continued to progress. He's recently invited to the Hockey Canada's evaluation for U20, which is, you know, that's a real feather in his cap and something that we think was deserving too. You know, Arthur Seeloffs is, you know, someone that showed very well at the World Championships for Latvia. Great length, elasticity, power. You know, he's a bit of, you know, sort of putty in your hand that you can keep on working with. So we're excited. Ethan Kappen, 30 goals playing in Flint and a big body and can play, you know, up and down the walls and win battles. And, you know, also 30 goals and a young guy and that we believe has really good character as well.
Well, you guys moved down a couple times in the draft. That's something you've done outside the first round the past few years. To get Ethan Kappen at 122, at getting 175, two, and to get that value, because I saw some lists that had Ethan Kappen as a third-round pick.
Yeah, and we very much considered him at 102. And, you know, it was, you know, a bit of a roll of the dice, but one that we were willing to do for the extra value. And, you know, draft strategy comes into it too. You know, we have our list and where we like guys, but if we're able to acquire more and we talk that way at the table, it's something that we're actively looking to do.
Well, and one of the areas that you guys have had a lot of success in is drafting American players, especially out of the USHL system. And back-to-back picks, Jack Malone, Aiden McDonough, two players that have some size and they have a lot of upside. So, I mean, what made both these players so intriguing to you, Judd?
We know them both well. You know, Jack is someone who played at Delbarton High School in Jersey and out in Youngstown, skates well, going to a great school. Cornell does a great job with these guys in terms of the details and the work rate and the expectation. So we're really comfortable where he's going in the development path. But his role, it was, you know, what he did in Youngstown too. He was the driver for them. He was their go-to guy up front. So we feel there's good value there, and he's got some time to continue to mature. Aiden McDonough is you know, someone we're also familiar with. Similar path, high school to college, to someone like Adam Gaudette and Madden. So we, you know, we're what Northeastern is able to do with players and you know, what we know about him in his past as well. We're excited.
The big news of the day was the shakeup, the JT Miller deal. Obviously for you, it's like you lose two of your presents. You lose a third round pick in this year's draft, a first round pick in either next year's draft or the draft after that. I know it's not ultimately your decision, but when you see a draft class like next year, which is said to be excellent, do you have your two cents in a conversation like that about what the Canucks are potentially giving up? Do you at least get to inject your opinion?
We certainly get to interject and you know, give, you know, maybe a brief overview on what next year might look like. But there, you know, there are many departments in terms of us being successful, whether it be pro scouting, amateur scouting. You know, obviously my answer is always going to be get more picks and to not trade them. But no, that's joking aside. But you know, we're going to continue to find the best players available with the picks we have, and there's always a chance that, you know, things change as the year goes on, and we acquire other picks as the year goes on. So we scout like we have the first pick in the draft straight through, and we have a job to do no matter what our allotment is.
Development is so unpredictable, so it's easy to say today that, you know, in 2 years' time, basically, Podkolzin will be here, in 2 years' time, Hoglander will be here. But if you start putting the pieces together and projecting where some of these guys go, do you have a pretty good idea of the roster now being supplemented with some ELC contracts that can be positive contributors, like, say, a Hoglander in a year or so and Podkolzin in a couple of years, and how that can mitigate the loss of a draft pick down the road?
Yeah, you can, you know, certainly if, you know, we talk about high sides and projection as to what we think players can be. I think it's a little dangerous to try to create a roster just based on draft picks. A lot happens between being 17, 18 to, you know, 22, 23 when you turn pro. But at the same time, we draft with expectations. So, yeah.
When you were drafting, in terms of those expectations, for a director of scouting, is it the number of players that ultimately play NHL games, or is it a combined number of NHL games as to how you set what you consider success coming out of a draft?
I think your expectations have to be partly what, you know, the realization of the player. If you know, if you have a high bar set for a first round pick, and just playing games might not be good enough. But at the same time, it is a player, it is an asset. It's, you know, so it varies as the rounds go, or, you know, based on what you have for prospect depth. You know, maybe you draft a goalie and you don't have much coming, and you expect them to develop to a one, and they might not reach that potential, but it's still an asset.
Well, that's a good point, because I think that's something a lot of people forget when they see a draft. They start projecting all these players at the NHL level. You have organizational needs. They're, quite frankly, a number of the players that have been drafted in the last number of years, if they make it to the AHL and that's the role they serve in professional hockey, that's fine.
Yep. And you start to build, you know, when you're drafting players of high character and high work rate, you start to build some of that culture within. And as you mentioned, some of these guys may need time in the American League and help build that culture there that then transcends and makes its way to Vancouver.
Well, you mentioned the fact you were able to sign three undrafted defensive free agents last year, Josh Tevez, Mitch Elliott, and also Brogan Rafferty. And you guys got really creative with the contract you gave Brogan Rafferty to convince him to sign. And he's RFA, and you'll get to that deal done. But how high are you on him? Because we only saw him for a couple of games, and it's easy to get too caught up in two games, but he looked very comfortable in those two games.
Yes, and you know, and our college scouts did a great job with it and identifying him. He was a player that, you know, passed through in his time with the USHL, someone that we watched closely even in his first year at Quinnipiac, and and continue to progress. He's smart. He's got some length to him. Good first pass. He can shoot the puck. He's got a lot of attributes, and you know, the turning pro and the consistency is going to be the next step for him.
And how encouraging was Tony Uten and Jack Rathbone's year? Did that give you more confidence about what Jim mentioned, that you feel good about your defensive depth?
Yes. Jack Rathbone certainly took a step in terms of his physical maturations, and we're happy with him and Jet Wu. And I think we've hit on some defensemen. And, as we turned out, we didn't draft any today, but it's not going to keep us from continuing to look for him.
The other inquiring minds would like to speak with you, so we are going to have to let you go. I know you're looking forward to that as much as you were to making these selections. Judd, congratulations on your draft class today, and thank you very much for taking the time.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for
congratulations, Judd.
Thanks.